Welcome to the Nerdist Podcast number 408. I hope you're having a nice day. Thanks if you came out to the shows that I did in San Francisco at Cobb's. Oh, San Francisco, I love you. Your weather was amazing. The America's Cup was cool, even though I don't know anything about sailing. But really, really fun shows. So thanks again. It's so nice to meet people that, you know, can I gush for a second? Because there are some comics that maybe don't have an audience that they would, like, want to hang out with and stuff. But honest to God, if when people come up after shows and say hi and show stuff that they've made or, you know, like, I'm like, I could hang out with you. Where were you when I was growing up? I needed friends. So we're going to be doing more of these shows on the 27th of September in Boston at the Wilbur Theater. I will be there with Matt Myra. He's going to be opening for me. Oh, Matt Myra, he's growing up. So if you live in Boston, you probably know Matt. So come out to the show. And then I'll be at the Carolina Theater November 8th in Durham, North Carolina. So tickets are on Nerdist.com/calendar. Go and grab those. Hey, the sponsor for this episode of Nerdist Podcast is Fox. Yeah, that's right. We get a big media sponsor on a little niche media outlet. Tuesday, September 17th is the premiere of Dads, which is Giovanni Ribisi, and Nerdist Podcast pal Seth Green. It's from the creators of Family Guy and Ted. And then also, right after that, is Brooklyn Nine-Nine, Andy Samberg, also Nerdist Podcast guest. I'm not trying to tie all these things back to the Nerdist Podcast, but it's kind of hard not to when that happens to be the case. So there's two new comedies coming to Fox. You should absolutely check them out. Let us know what you think. That is September 17th, Tuesday. Thank you so much to Fox and Dads and Brooklyn Nine-Nine for sponsoring this episode of the Nerdist Podcast. Good luck to you, Samberg and Green.
Chris Hardwick is pulling for you.
I don't know why I got sort of weirdly Irish and Burgess Meredith at the same time. This episode of the podcast is Alison Brie. Delightful Alison Brie, making a return visit to the Nerdist Podcast. She was on our first year of the Nerdist Podcast and has come back, her triumphant return. Let's just talk about hilarious, delightful, wonderful, talented Alison Brie. This was an incredibly fun episode, and you know, again, when someone comes on and they can, and they're just like riff monsters on the show, it just elevates everyone's game, and that's what Allie does with us. So here you go, the Nerdist Podcast number 408 with Alison Brie. Community will be returning sometime. No one knows. They're making it, so it'll be somewhere, but let us know when that's going to happen, NBC. Come on! Come on!
Now entering Nerdist.com.
Yeah, I came in, and this is just what I love about this space is I'm often surprised by the things that are going on here. So it's great to walk into the theater and see it's completely black in the theater. And there's a spotlight and a guy with a puppet and another guy playing a cat keyboard. And it's going, meow, meow, meow,
this
meow.
This sounds like similar to what I walked in on. But they were like, hoo, ha, hee, ho.
Yeah, I was walking up to the door and I heard it. And I was like, I don't want to even see it.
See, the weird thing is I heard it and I was like, maybe that's Chris in there.
We're doing our podcast vocal warm-ups. Like,
meow, 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 meow.
I don't know what you guys do to prepare for my entrance.
So, Meowison Brie is here to... Oh, man.
Give a meow of applause.
Yeah, I don't know what that is down there, but it's amazing. And I think I even said as I walked by, like, this seems right. Like, it's just sort of...
Yep,
this
check.
Is, yeah, this yeah. is exactly the kind of thing that...
It's like that Simpsons episode where Bart looks into the offices of Mad Magazine and it's just a bunch of weird shit.
It's just a bunch of weird shit. That is essentially what's going on here.
Yeah.
Allie, it's nice to see you.
It's good to see you. It's good to be back.
I know. You're a returning guest.
Yes, and I would like to point out that I was the first woman to ever be on the Nerdist Podcast, or at least that's what you told me the first time
true.
That I
yes.
did it.
Okay, that was true.
Okay, I think good. We also yes, brought it yes. back up on the TV show version. We brought it like, you know, you were the first woman.
Was I the first woman on the TV show?
No.
Oh, well.
I don't believe so.
Oh. Didn't get that phone call in time, I guess.
Well,
I
in our hearts.
Slipped through
the cracks.
Okay,
how about this? What if
if people watch that one first,
then it's like
yeah. So if they create their own playlist with, you know, if they buy it on iTunes or whatever, then it's like then that's like then you're the first.
Okay. Yeah. And that's what I would recommend everyone do.
But I think that since the TV show was spawned from the podcast,
still I'm the first woman to have ever done it.
Yeah. Well, we refer to you as Podcast Eve. Like you're the first.
Not Podcast Steve.
No,
thank
not
you.
Podcast
thank
Steve.
You. I fucking hate Steve.
So you're basically the Eve of the Nerdist podcast.
Good, good.
Yeah.
I'll take it.
Good. It was good to see you at Comic-Con.
Yes.
That was a fun the panel. You guys were in Hall H. Community was in Hall H.
It was crazy. I couldn't even fathom how many people were in there while we were doing it. Because it was like not only after when I was looking at photos that like Gillian and Jim took that I was kind of like, oh shit, I'm really nervous. It goes all the way back there.
It's like it's somewhere between 6,500 and 7,000 people.
That's crazy.
But that's in a room. That's what's scary about it. If that was people in a field, nothing. I wouldn't really. It's
really?
Not a big deal. It's
yeah,
spread
I guess,
out.
Because a field, you can fill up with way more people.
Yeah, exactly. But just like, one room of that many people makes me uncomfortable.
I'm uncomfortable now. I'm retroactively uncomfortable. Oh, God.
Glad
what's going
to
happen
it.
To me?
Well, you survived. So what's going to happen is it went
do
great.
Do we know that I'm for fine. Sure? Do
oh,
we
good.
Know that for sure?
Yeah.
Guys, we died during the panel. I'm sorry.
You were great. You were great. It was so wonderful
oh,
to
thanks.
Have you there.
I was thrilled to be able to do it.
Yeah. So much better having someone like you do it than someone who's just like, I don't know, asking straight questions and not giving Dan any shit.
Dan gives himself enough shit.
He does. Yeah. But it's fun to watch that banter.
I mean, I liked his Iron Man suit. Was
That was made
was
by
incredible.
Rob Schraub.
Rob yeah. Schraub.
Then they all pulled it off him.
Yep, there was a fair amount of rehearsal time that went into that in the green room before. But none of us had any idea. Dan just walked in with like all these pieces of Iron Man, and we were just like, yeah!
I don't know what that is, but it looks rad!
We're in!
Were you at Comic-Con the whole time or just for the Sunday?
No, it was a pop-in. It was a quick sting operation. I got in Saturday, so we did a lot of like running around and talking about the show nonsensically. Is that a word?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Sure.
No.
Wouldn't that be weird if nonsensically was not the right word for nonsensical?
I was kind of like, it's going to work either
yeah.
way.
It's based off the Greek god nonsensicles, right?
That's right.
Got a great pair of nonsensicles.
We think it was very difficult to figure out what he was actually about. So he was.
I just want him to have like one big testicle and one little testicle, and maybe like a weird third testicle.
Yeah. Oh, you're thinking of Comparacles. Yeah.
I always get those two mixed up.
He's the Greek god of one thing's way bigger than the other.
That's yeah. right. That's
yeah.
right.
Yeah, that's Comparacles.
So many gods.
There's a lot. One for everything.
Gods, yeah.
There's
oh
one
my
for
gods.
Everything. So,
so we came in Saturday. We bopped all around and like partied. We didn't. I don't know. Didn't really party. And then Sunday was
like
the big
day. Why'd you backpedal on that so fast?
I don't know. Because I felt like it's a misrepresentation of me. Like that I fucking partied.
You fucking throw down.
Oh, you could just like fun. You could just have a fun time.
We just had a fun night. Yeah.
Party is very specific, though.
No, kids party all the time. It doesn't mean that they're drinking and doing drugs.
It doesn't?
No. They're just like cake.
Are you guys hearing the cat opera downstairs? I heard a chorus.
Well, what's that meowity?
Right here, right meow. There is no other place I wanna be. Meow. I don't know what that is downstairs. That was a much bigger chorus than what I heard before.
It's getting intense down there.
What if they had like 200 cats? That's what they just pulled in.
Cat audience? Is
yeah,
that what you're thinking?
A cat audience,
just,
yeah.
They just had 200 cats. They all came out to see this, and they're going crazy.
These cats are from a shelter. This is the only thing they'll get to go and do.
Oh, no.
Trying to show them a good time.
I would love it. I would love it. Just swim in a sea of cats. I love cats.
You know for a fact. Cats, do you have cats?
I have two cats.
You do?
Well, yes. But full disclosure, they're my boyfriend's cats, but they live with me. So they're now my cats.
Yeah, those are more your cats than his cats. Actually.
Do you guys live
I
together?
Think so. We do.
But oh, okay.
But the cats moved in before he did.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Gotcha. To scope it out?
Yeah.
Were they like sentinels?
I was sort of like, I don't need to see you every day, but can the cat? We need the cats here. I think I just need the cats here. And then
just
whenever
see,
you're around.
Just to see if the cats are cool first.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm. Well, and they were having separation. They were. It was more like, yeah, we weren't spending enough time with the cats, and they were lonely at their own place.
But they got each
other. They stopped eating. No, they became anorexic, and they were really upset.
Really?
Only one of them.
Because he was never around?
Yeah.
He was always at your place?
Yeah.
And oh, my God. Well, that's way better than mulemia.
No. No.
What?
Maybe.
cats are kind of mulemic. They throw up hairballs.
Yeah, that same cat, this anorexic, it throws up quite often.
Well.
And I'm always worried. I'm constantly worried.
And what can you do? They're not even... Do you consider them your cats now?
I do. I call them my cats. You asked if I had cats. I said I had cats.
I guess that's true.
I call them my cats. They are.
What are the names? If they're your cats, you'll know their names.
Oh, shit. I didn't think this through.
There's the one.
There's the one. Its name is Tableton.
Tableton.
And,
Pause Tableton?
Pause Tableton and Michael. Phone.
Michael phone.
Michael phone.
Yeah. It
sounds like...
They're an interesting pair of real cats that do indeed live with me in our mind.
Now, Michael phone sounds like a shitty superhero whose only power is that he can project his voice really far.
I am Michael phone!
Oh, no,
and everyone freaks out
no,
and it goes
no,
so far
no,
and then everyone's waiting.
Yeah. That's about it.
The windows shatter.
Can you guys stop doing the crimes? That's all he has to follow up with.
Now that I have your attention.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks. Stop it.
Please.
No.
This is all I can do.
I got to have to recharge for a while.
I'm going to sing cat pun songs until you stop robbing things.
You got more?
No. I'm not microphone.
Yeah.
You're
not.
You're not.
Oh, come on, guys. That really hurt.
You know what?
I could be.
Good.
where were you? Shooting a movie or something? You were gone for a while.
I was, yeah. I was shooting. I shot a movie in Baton Rouge, beautiful Baton Rouge, with called Search Party with T.J. Miller Adam Pally.
And Thomas Middleditch. Yeah,
Middleditch.
He's great.
Did you say TJ was in that?
Yeah.
TJ Miller was in that one.
Oh, boy.
What?
Oh, boy.
What? And so was Adam Pally.
Hi, I'm Adam.
It's me, crazy Adam Pally.
Hey, it's me, Adam, doing a TJ Miller impersonation. It's not as good as the other one.
That was a blast. Those guys are super fun. It was so fun.
Yeah.
I think everyone was kind of bummed that we were in Baton Rouge and not New Orleans, except me. I was like, oh, it's like the suburbs and there's a yoga place. I was like, Baton Rouge is great, right, guys? And everybody was kind of like, no.
Bored.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But,
what was your typical Baton Rouge day?
You know, wake up, go to yoga, go to the set,
hey.
Maybe pop by Whole Foods. Oh, God.
Call the cats just to say hi. Wow. Honey, put the cats on.
Sounds like your life here.
That's why I liked it. I don't like adventure. It's perfect. Everything. I just set up my hotel room the same way as my house. With the Michael Jackson poster in the same spot.
Cardboard cats in the corner.
The what in the mite spot?
Nothing. Which, so then.
What? Just breeze
so then,
by that one.
One day, something unexpected happened. And another thing. It was fun. I think New Orleans I feel like would be intimidating to shoot in because it's so crazy all the time. And I love going out for Mardi Gras for a quick 48 hours and I come back super sick, but I feel like that environment would be crazy.
Alison Brie gone wild. You won't believe how far Alison Brie is willing to go.
I can't have temptation too close to me while I'm working.
Yeah. Well, fortunately you were in Baton Rouge.
I was in Baton Rouge.
You're in Baton Rouge.
Baton Rouge.
I'm not doing
everyone
it
there
same.
Speaks with a French accent.
Really?
Yeah, it's crazy.
Like legit, not like a Creole accent.
No,
I've never
fully
been.
French.
Really?
No.
Okay.
She's a good actress, Joan.
Yeah. Well, it's I've never been there, so there's really no way of me knowing.
I'm so glad that's where you're going with that. I said she's a good actress, and you're gonna be like, well,
there's no way of me knowing that. I've never seen one thing she's done, not one.
You've never seen the Mad Men Comedy Hour?
No, is that the one with the guy from the Talk Soup?
No.
Close.
No, yeah,
it's close.
Yeah.
It's close.
Yeah, okay.
Could Joel have played Don Draper?
In a world
I just saw In the World.
Me too. I saw it last night. I loved it so much.
It's so good. It ends with one of my favorite songs.
I loved it so
much. Is it about
much.
The guy who records all the...
Well, kind of,
yeah. It's about the voiceover world.
Don LaFontaine.
Yeah.
But it's Lake Bell's movie. It's she wrote and directed it. Demetri Martin's in it, and he's really good
in
it.
He's really good in it. I think it's my favorite thing I've ever seen him in.
Same here. Yeah. Like, he's fantastic in it. It's I literally saw it this morning.
Everybody's good in it. Rob Corddry is like... Oh. Serious?
Yeah. Who played his wife? Who was that?
Michaela.
Watson?
Yes.
Yes. Great performance.
I love her. She's great. She's always great.
Janixa's in it in a part that seems to have been... Do you know Janixa?
Yeah, I do know Janixa.
Yeah.
I don't know Janixa.
Brett Gelman's girlfriend?
Oh.
She's a very good director, but she was the one that was eating snacks.
No wonder. And the whole time I was like, how do I know her?
Yeah.
They make the best Christmas cards.
Oh. Yes, their Christmas cards are great.
Tig's in it.
Yeah.
Tig's in it.
She's great.
Who else?
How come you weren't in it?
Yeah, wait a minute.
You should have been in that.
Wait a minute.
You know all those people.
Excuse me.
What happened?
Beep, boop, bop, boop, boop. It's that they don't know because it's a podcast. So they don't
they wouldn't have told. Yeah, exactly.
Not. Beep, boop, bop, boop, boop, boop.
Six, seven,
boop.
Eight, nine numbers?
Boop.
Okay. No. What's on the last two?
Hello.
Hi, this
At
is Betty
tone,
Boop.
Press boop again.
Oh, shit.
Wait, who were you calling just now, by the way?
I don't know.
The past to try and get in that mode.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
So you got one of them time phones.
I was just calling, yeah.
But it is really good. I
loved it.
Saw it and then came straight here.
It put me in a good mood. You know how, like, I feel like really affected if I see a movie that is really terrible, I get so grouchy afterwards. And if I see a movie that I love, I leave like, dancing in the street. I'm like so great for the rest of the night.
Yeah.
And that was me last night. Just
so excited.
I was excited.
I haven't seen a lot of anything lately. Because I was catching up on Breaking Bad rewatching.
For your job.
For my work.
Yeah.
Tough job, man.
It's really hard. Someone suggested I wish I knew the username, but they were like, when Mad Men comes back, you should host Mad Mentions.
I like it.
All right.
I'm in.
I'm behind the last season, though. I saw the first episode or two.
The truth.
Oh, you didn't see the last season?
Out.
No. Ooh, not shit. Yet. Oosh. But I did see Trudy Campbell laying down some fucking law.
Yeah.
Which was awesome.
Smackdown. Yes.
Yeah.
That was a smack up.
Yeah.
So I don't know what the result of all that stuff is, and I don't want to give anything away for people who haven't seen even up to that part yet. But
That's true. But
watching you be like super like, all right, fucking bullshit's over.
Yeah. It was awesome.
Yeah, when
Trudy being like a human being and showing multiple.
Well, it's nice. I've always played Trudy, I think, as a smart character, and you know, talking with Matt about her and stuff like that. We've always just gone in and out of, does she know things? Does she not? I know I'm trying to be now super vague for spoiler alert purposes. But it is always nice then to have those moments where you just like see everyone.
Yeah.
Like,
she knows what's up.
She knows what's up. Like, she's better than you thought. Although I don't think people like hate Trudy.
That scene where the person comes to the kitchen.
Oof.
That was a great scene.
Yeah. Fucking great scene. That was
I am trying not to. Did you see it?
That scene where a person comes to the kitchen.
And said, what's for breakfast? I was like, oh, shit.
She knows what's for breakfast.
There's
so much to it.
It was cool. And before we shot it too, because it's like I don't get scripts. I get them. I get them for the episodes that I'm in, but not the other scripts.
But do you get them?
Sometimes I get them, and other times I just don't get them.
Yeah.
But I saw everybody right before we shot it, and I hadn't gotten the script yet. And everybody, because there's so much secrecy about the show, you're not even really allowed to talk about it with other cast members.
Oh, weird.
Even though it's already written, and they know I'm going to get the script the next day, it's like I saw everyone 2 days before we shot it, and they were like, oh, shit, did you read it? And I was like, no, what happens? And they're like, oh, you'll see.
You know, I could just go read it.
Yeah. I'm going to get it.
Everyone's so afraid of getting busted.
It's true.
I get episodes for things now where I basically have software, and then the software is viewing software that's on my desktop, and I'll get an email like, you have something to view in your software.
And it's like,
and
then this software will self-destruct. Yeah.
And then there's a watermark of my name across the middle of it. So they can track exactly when it was, and if it gets out, then they know, you know.
Oh, yeah.
So it's fucking intense.
Oh, yeah. Mad Men is everything is hard copies. It's not like Community where they just email us our scripts or our script changes. It's like, hand delivered by a guy. They
on a,
won't
on
leave
a pony.
It.
Yeah. Who's dressed like a Union soldier.
Yeah, it's, which is great for the effect, isn't
it? Yeah, yeah, it's good. It's good. The Confederate cosplay is a Civil War reenactment.
It's really nice, yeah.
I really don't like knowing things too far in advance.
I agree, and actually, I'm such a huge. This always sounds really nerdy, that I'm such a huge fan of Mad Men that I actually really like watching the show as a fan because I'm not in that many of the episodes. So it's nice that I don't get the scripts because one, I don't have to keep too many things secret, which is like I'm like I don't want to know because then I won't accidentally spill the beans. Not that I would anyway.
Let's see those beans.
And
you don't have to spill some. You could just drop a few beans on the ground for
what
us.
What if I just open the can and show you?
Can we sniff the beans? No. That would give us the essence.
You can stick
of...
your finger in the bean
what?
Juice.
What? Oh.
That's as far as I'll go.
That sounds like a euphemism for something.
It looks like somebody stuck his finger in the bean juice.
Yo, dog, you stuck your finger in the bean juice one time.
Man, I got all up in that bean juice.
You get up in that bean juice. Your finger smell like bean juice, dog.
Gross.
What? You invented bean juice.
I'm over it.
What are you talking
I'm
about?
I'm against it.
But it's your thing.
No, you're gross now to me.
I'm not gross.
I'll never look at you the same way.
I was yes-ending your bean juice,
oh,
Rev.
Oh, God. It went
you weren't
south.
Supposed to. You weren't supposed to.
I have put four
test.
Fingers
yeah,
in the bean juice this time.
Yeah.
Too many. That's why it's anyway.
Whatever happened with the because when we had you on the podcast before a couple years ago, there was that whole thing where you told the story about the guy that you had sex with in college, and then it was like, and you were like, and this thing blew up, and I didn't really
oh,
mean it
my
to become
gay friend.
Yes,
yes. Well, it's still out there. Well, it's in a book. This
right
thing. It's in a book, which in hindsight, you know, was maybe not. I was just like, yeah, cool. I'll be published in a book, and didn't think like, oh, that story. Is kind of intimate and very sexual
and will
strange.
Have repercussions.
And could have repercussions. You know, still once in a while, because it's up online on like nerve.com or something. And so still people will send it to me every so often. And the reaction seems to have flipped. I don't remember what it was. People were like so outraged before, but now they're just like, this is awesome. I love you even more.
Now, like, do straight dudes come up to you and they're like, hey, I'm pretty gay. You should probably...
No, but on the project I was just working on, not Search Party, but a different one, a questionably straight character did approach me and was just like, can I ask you a question that has nothing to do with work? He was working on the movie. And I was kind of like, I don't know that that's a great
should
idea.
I invite should I have HR come over before you
I'm
ask this question?
I'm not sure, but sure. Because it's me, and I'm always like, yeah, what do you want to know?
Yeah.
You love adventure.
You know what? I love adventure. And he was like, so I read a story. It took him a really long time to get it out. And I was like, uh-huh. I wanted to make him say the whole thing. He was like, where? I think you wrote it. Yeah. About your friend in college. Mm-hmm. Where are you going with this? And so he finally got it all out of his mouth, and he was like, was that story true? And I was just like, yep. Rocked him. We couldn't get
was
into
he expecting you to just grab his shirt and go, do you want to find out?
Let's do it. Even though he was like masquerading as straight, maybe he's a straight guy. I don't believe it. But I don't believe it. But
so that story had repercussions for years to come.
Well, yeah, I guess.
Did the guy ever read it?
He's still a good friend of mine. Yes, he read it. And I think he really liked it because it really shines more of a poor light on me than it does him. And he was kind of, he was fairly sort of like, that's not totally how I remember it. And I was like, just go with it. It's funny. But that's what also people don't get is like, you write a comical, like autobiographical thing, and it's a true story, but you are going to embellish things for comedy and you're making jokes, and it is from memory that you're kind of coming up with this thing that you're, you know, like I said, we had performed it as like a live monologue, so it's like you kind of work, you're working off of audience reactions, and then you're writing it down, and you're kind of changing it, so it's sort of like, yeah, it all happened, but you don't have to take every single little... You know, like if you offhandedly make a joke to someone about murdering someone and then they're like, holy shit, Alison Brie kills people. You know, like, well, God, I'm going to go home and kill myself. And everyone's like, oh, my God.
Well, put her on watch.
Yeah.
Put her on watch.
Yeah.
Well, I think unfortunately, you know, the people have a general perception of you, and if they see you on Mad Men, even if they see you as a comedic actress on Community, they may not think of you as a comedian per se.
Right.
And so you're not given the same. Even comics, you can say something that you it's so obvious. Like, why would you think I was serious about that? And someone's so like, what is that supposed to mean?
Totally.
When they see it written down online and they don't have it in context, it's just they cannot. They just think of it as like, this is like
that
a news story.
Worst. Oh, God, I know. Well, it's like Dan Harmon gets in trouble for a lot of this stuff because, you know, he has no filter and he'll write these blogs and people want to take them and make them a story. And you're sort of just like, it was a quick metaphor. I don't know why you're making a big deal about this, like things like that. People, you know, fail to understand humorous metaphor sometimes, I think. I don't know. In some ways, I'm still glad, actually. I think I was so... When the story had first written it and people like had such a big reaction, I was more just shocked that that would have gotten so much attention. But now I think that anything I would have done would have gotten so much attention or to have negative attention. But now it's sort of nice because, I don't know, it's like a quick, easy way to break that persona that people just think that I'm like Annie or that I'm like Trudy all
but
the time.
But do you regret it, or do you kind of like the pictures, like the sexy spanking pictures you took with Gillian? Is there ever a point, like, if someone comes up to you and they want you to sign, or they talk about it, or they make it all about that kind of stuff, are you like, I really regret doing that stuff?
No, you know, I don't regret it. Certainly there are creepy people that you're like, ew, we're talking about this for too long, and that's weird. But...
Like, what did your hand feel like as it was striking her naked flesh?
Yeah.
Jonah.
Is that... I think I see part of your nipple. I've enhanced it many times.
Well, I photoshopped one on. Tell me if this is close to how
people
it looks.
Do. Yeah. That's the one thing I will say is, like, it's kind of like whether you take those pictures or not. There's a picture I took where I'm, like, in a tank top and, like, kind of sexy shorts, underwear, maybe. And people have photoshopped, like, gratuitous nipples on me. And I'm like, and then other people find it online and they're like, this is fucking rad, and send it to me on Twitter. And I'm like, okay, you gotta just let it go. You can't battle each one of those people.
You
it's
can't
just
always
like,
have
hey,
it on hand. Here's what it really was.
Here's what it really... Yeah, every time I send it to them.
My nipples are nothing like that.
So this is sort of an interesting... this is a question that I'm curious to know because I'm... You know, this isn't really an area that I'll probably ever really be able to explore as a performer, but...
The exploitation of nipples.
Well... It's got to stop.
Exploitation.
It's got to stop.
I'm curious about, so you as a performer, you obviously are a serious actress, you obviously are a comedic actress, and you're obviously sometimes, you know, like, depending on, like, those kinds of photo shoots, you're presented also as kind of a sexy, you know, like, what,
yeah,
is there,
thank you.
Do you feel like those are all facets?
Triple threat, I thought.
Ooh,
so.
I'll take it.
I mean, it's just like, we you know, we don't have
Wait,
anything.
What was the question, though? Do I find it?
I mean, like, what do you think of? Like, how do you want to be presented? Do you like all of those different things together, or do one more than the other, or is it odd?
No, I don't think it's odd. I think, you know, I don't know, since I've grown up loving acting, and I did a lot of theater when I was growing up, and when I was in college and stuff like that. And I think the idea was always to just be as many things as you could possibly be, and like as a performer, because I just want to have as many opportunities as possible. And like, it's been great to work on Mad Men, which is a drama, and Community, which is a comedy. And I wouldn't want people to think of me as one or the other, because I like to think that I can do both. So I think with sexy photo shoots, it all goes hand in hand. I think it's sort of just like, hey, everyone, I don't know. This is, I don't know. Is it like, I can do it all? But sort of like, there is that sense, and I think because I played a lot of buttoned up and sort of neurotic characters, that there is that idea of being like, and I can be sexy too, and sometimes I like to do that, and there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
And people like, there's such a stigma with sexy photo shoots. In fact, I read an article that featured that photo of Gillian and I. And it was about, like, why do female comedians, comedic actresses, feel like they need to be sexy? You know, isn't
like they're
being
a little
funny...
they're kind of projecting on you what your intention was.
Right. Well, there was just sort of like, isn't being funny and smart enough? Like, why do women have to, you know, do this to themselves, and they do it for men? And I was like, that's not why. I don't think that I'm constantly craving, like, I need acceptance from men, and I need to know that they want to fuck me. Like, and that's my world. I'm trapped in it. I think it's just, like...
I'm just in this desperate cum world.
Yeah.
That I can't break out of.
God, it's so unfair for women. I think that, like, I think it's good for women to own their sexuality and that that's allowed and it's not a negative thing. And I think that it's empowering for women to say, yeah, I can be smart and I can be funny and I can be sexy and I can be sexual.
That it shouldn't, like, be one more than the other. That it's like that there's a holistic approach.
Yeah, to people and to all people. And I feel like that's, you know, people often with me are just like, oh, you talk so sexually all the time. Like, why? And I'm just like, I don't know. Why not? It's just part of everything. It's not like I go out of my way to be like, so, all sex all the time with Alison Brie. Like, I just think it's something that people are fascinated by and they want to bring up constantly anyway. And why not go there a little bit or not, you know?
Yeah, I mean, they're in Tina Fey's book, she talks about, you know, how it's like, you know, doing a sexy photo shoot. And as a person who's like, you know, was a writer, and then she's like, plays kind of like Liz Lemon buttoned up. But she talks about how, like, you know what? It's like, it's fun. It's fun getting dressed up sexy and having pictures taken of you.
Although, actually, I do feel like in her book, she also points out, and to a very funny degree, like, how unfun those photo shoots end up being.
Oh,
which,
right,
is just like, yeah, you've got clips up your back. And it is always that way,
move
too.
Your,
it's
leg,
like,
over here. Now lean. Now hold that position.
Every, yeah, exactly, time I sign up to do one, it's like I get anxious. And then I'll be like, you know what? This will be cool. Oh, this will be fun. The timing's great for, I don't know why. And, you know, you get there and they're just like, here's what you're wearing. And you're like, oh, God. Oh, God. It just ends up becoming, yeah, one of those things where it is your breath. You're just holding your breath. And you're just trying to find the leanest pose. Yeah. And, like, you know, so on the flip side, I guess it's important. I feel like now a responsibility to say, like, young girls, you should know that women in magazines, yeah, don't look like that. They were all holding our breath and we didn't eat that day, and then they photoshopped it for,
well, that was kind of, that was kind of funny with Jennifer Lawrence on there. They showed her a picture on the red carpet. They're like, you know, they showed her this picture that she'd taken in a magazine, and she was like, oh, yeah, that's not what I look like at all. That is, yeah, way photoshopped.
Look, they made my legs way longer.
Yeah, she goes, yeah, no one looks like that. It was just kind of funny, you,
yeah,
know?
It's, yeah, it's true. And it's sort of like a bummer. And Tina Fey talks about this in her book, too, where she's sort of like, there's good Photoshop and there's bad Photoshop. And, like, yeah, we shouldn't hate it entirely, and I totally agree. But it is like, because it's nice that you're like, I mean, make me look good. I'm going to be in your magazine. I don't, right, want to, yeah, look, yeah, like shit. But at the same time, you're like, that doesn't even look like my face. I don't, yeah, there's no contours to my face.
Yeah.
And then people will also get that, like, people like to get mad at you. Like, you don't, hey girl, you don't need to be Photoshopped that much. like, feel good about yourself. I'm like, this is so out of, yeah, my control.
But I worked so hard on it day and night. I had the Photoshop files open. I had them send me the pictures.
But this spread is in Photoshop Monthly.
Yeah.
I don't understand.
Yeah.
I wanted cat legs. What's the problem?
You know how much I like cats. Tableton is going to love this.
Tableton and microphone.
Microphone.
Oh, meow, microphone. Meow, 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 meow. Yeah, it's just, I mean, I'm sort of fascinated by the idea because it's not, you know, because of the position, it's not like people are coming to us as, you know, as comedians,
hey,
and being like,
take off your clothes.
Yeah, do you want to be in a sexy photo shoot? And then I don't have to go like, oh, should I be this or is it okay to sort? Because the other thing that, you know,
you've done photo shoots where you have to look debonair and stuff,
yeah,
like that.
Well, were you, but you're usually wearing a suit.
But as a guy, it's so like you're trying to, you know, you're trying to present yourself as handsomely as possible. And sometimes,
right,
you know, it's like, but it's certainly not. I certainly don't feel exposed, and I certainly don't ever have to. You know, I mean, I guess I have my own things about me where at a certain photo angles, I'm like, oh wow,
ooh, why do they?
Yeah, why do they have to catch? Oh,
yeah.
That was the lighting.
Right.
But, you know, but it's not really, I don't necessarily think like this is a part of my identity that the world wants to see and they're going to try to,
right,
you know.
Right. I don't know. It's a weird thing. On the other hand, there's got to be sort of like a Samantha from Sex and the City motive.
Oh, sweetie.
You guys get that reference.
Oh, of course, sweetie. Yeah.
But some people will. Hold on.
I never told you about my one-man show I was going to do. It was all basically as...
just you as Samantha.
It's called Samantha, and M-A-N was capitalized.
Was in parentheses.
Yeah, and it was just the whole thing was just, oh, sweetie, you just have to fuck him. You just have to fuck his balls off. Like, it's just a lot of those.
So back to my point about Samantha...
She has to fuck his balls off.
No, it's not about fucking. It's about, like, there's an episode where she takes naked photos of herself. She has naked photos of herself taken because she's like, I'm in amazing shape, and I kind of want to, like, remember this time where, like, I looked good. And that sounds so vain. But there's a small part that you're like, you know, I'm working hard. I feel good. I have this opportunity. Like, maybe I'll take these photos, and I probably won't want to take them in 20 years, and then I can look back and be like, oh, that's cool. Well, I looked that way once.
We say that's cool, or we'd be like, oh, God, what happened?
I know. Then on the other hand, you're like, I don't know. Then you're sitting there with your grandkids being like, yeah, she was slapping my ass with that ping pong paddle. And it felt great, yeah. Kids.
Good night.
It was funny at the time.
Here's some condoms. I'm going to be the cool grandma.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe all I just said is bullshit.
I don't. Well, but there is, but there is something really important about it. I mean, like, at the core of it, I think sometimes we tend to swing so much to the opposite side so that we're not a culture of objectifiers, which obviously we are.
Right.
But so that it's like, no, you should appreciate these other things more. And but then at a certain point it's like, yeah, but it's still, we're still sexual creatures, and it still feels good to be desired, and
yeah,
you desire people, and that's not bad.
Yeah.
You know, as long as you're not compromising, you know, I think it all sort of comes from the same critical places when people go like, yeah, that guy sold out because he's in a commercial. It's like, well, selling out or it's like when you compromise your ideals for something that's
right,
material.
Right. Yeah.
That's selling out, or that's like, if you're doing it because you feel good about it and it kind of jives with your own belief system, then
right,
you're not, then that's just expression.
Right. And again, it's like taking photos where you're in a bathing suit is different from, like, you know, a sleazy guy being like, take your top off in the back room and taking photos. That way, not that I'm frowning upon.
What audition was that?
Actually.
Community.
Yeah, how do you think I got here? Not that I begrudge women that pose for Playboy or any of that stuff either. If it's empowering to them and they are choosing to do it, versus there's the seedy version of people who do get manipulated into doing those things, yeah, when they don't, and they do regret it. I think there are some
extreme points of view that are like, if anyone does it, they're always being manipulated and they just don't realize it.
Right, right. And that I disagree with, because I think women are allowed to love their bodies too, and to choose to show them to whoever they want.
Yeah. Problem solved.
Yes, problem solver to the rescue. That's me. My name is Problem Solver. I'm working on the song, but I am a hero.
I was kind of hoping that would go on. I have a picture of you, by the way. Problem solver to the rescue. It was Alison Brie's. What was it that we did on Web Soup? Like the cutie cutie choo choo.
Oh my god! Choo-choo. Yeah, people got pissed at me for that as well. They were like, "How dare you? You tricked me into looking at awful things."
Oh yeah.
A lot of anger on the internet.
Yeah.
Sometimes I just can't take it. I'm like, you know, get over it. Oh, get over everything.
Didn't we also do Diddy Die with Alison Brie? I think it was another
what
one
was
we did.
What was that?
Was it
where we killed when, P. Diddy?
Like, was someone like,
no, not
video?
Diddy.
Diddy Die?
Oh, why did Alison Brie kill P. Diddy?
Yeah.
I just immediately pictured it spelled that way, the way you said it. Did he die?
No, it was we showed.
He's not looking good. Did he die?
We showed pictures.
Did he dead?
Videos of people who pulled stunts where they were horribly injured themselves, and it was a yes. I think
that's
we did
a terrible
do that.
Game.
Yeah, I know. And then like
did
we
any of them
loved
die?
It at the time.
Yeah, did he die?
I was manipulated.
Probably all
this.
Probably all of them died.
And then we had Brad Stevens come out as the boy's father, presenting you with a gift. Yeah.
I remember
those
now.
Those were fun. Oh, I remember Web Soup. That actually, I did appreciate that about. Because Joel couldn't be at the community panel at Comic-Con because he was shooting a movie. Yep. And he a video of him came out and said, I'm not going to be here. And he introduced me as an above-average bowler and the guy who couldn't make Web Soup work.
Classic Joel.
Classic.
Web Soup did work.
Oh, you took that more personally than I did. I thought it was really funny.
No.
I did. I worked really hard on those videos.
But that's okay. But what's fun is that I got to come out and go, yeah, yes, that was very true what he said. I probably did kill G4. However, one of us cared enough to come to Comic-Con.
Yeah.
Oh, in your face, Nick.
He wasn't there to defend himself, Chris.
No,
very
he
bad.
Was sitting on a pile of money on the East Coast.
Yeah.
That's where he gets his power from.
Money man, my name is Joel McHale. I make tons of money, and that's my power.
I think
God, that sounded just like the problem solver lady.
Yeah.
Well, look, I'm working on it.
It needs a line like, I'm still working on this song.
Oh, yeah. What was the guy you got?
I like the false start. The bridge is, and I'm working on the song because I'm working on the song.
And I'm working on the song.
I'll finish it soon. So you got to come back with a full, we'll do the greatest hits.
Okay. Okay. I tried to do it. What did I try to do it the other day? And Danny and Donald just would not go along with me on this song that I was like, hey, guy, I tried to like trick them into thinking that they already knew a song that I was making up. This is not as funny. I don't know why I'm laughing so hard, but and now I'm not going to remember it. It was like, oh, shoot. Talk amongst yourselves. Well,
my arm is soft enough to be a stress ball.
I just remember anybody who was really nice.
You guys just talk amongst
yourselves.
I need to
just squeeze this arm.
Yeah. I have to figure out what the song was so I can finish the story.
It was like, together again. No, this isn't one. But it ended. I know how it ended. It was like, you and I. Like it was going to do a key change.
That sounds like a sitcom theme.
You and I. Do you think I stole this?
No, I think... No. No. Yes, I think...
Oh, great. It's like, we're together. We're gonna be together. You and I. I'm not... Okay, I'm laughing. So my singing is compromised.
No, I was doing it at home.
To know.
I was doing it at home. It's only fine.
People
just give me a chance.
People need to know that my singing quality is compromised by my laughing.
It's dry. The room's dry.
Stay together.
Yeah.
You and I could stay forever, you and I. And then I was like, remember that song, guys? And they were just like, no, you made it up.
See, are you trying to get Donald to like get a loop of it so he'll throw it in
chat? Yeah, I just keep following Donald. I'm like, hey, Donald, stay. He's like, no. I'm like, I got plenty of these.
Here's a good sample.
Hey, Donald. Boop, 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 doo, 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 doo. Oh, that's already
that's
a song.
It's me calling the past.
Yeah. Beep, bop, boop, calling the past.
This is called a telephone that you picked up on the other end.
I'm calling a person and I don't know. Are they going to answer? Maybe they're not and I don't. Hello?
Don't freak out. It's not witchcraft. Does Donald, he's not going to be on the full season of the show. Is that
correct? He's not. No, 5 episodes. That sucks.
Kill him off.
Yeah, it sucks. it's good. No, Donald's doing so much. It's like we're all really proud of him, and it's great that he's got a lot going on.
What's the real off-mic story?
You got another show?
So anyway, the real truth is, just let me turn this off.
Okay, yeah. Click.
So the real truth is.
Yeah.
I don't know. Well, I thought
there was
going
to be a made up.
No, I can't. Oh, a made up real truth.
Yeah, because anything you say could be taken as news because people, you never underestimate the internet's ability to not get irony.
Donald is having complete reconstructive surgery.
What?
To his torso and lower half of his body except for his penis.
Cat legs?
So.
He's having cat legs.
I don't want to imply that anything is wrong with his penis.
Is he starring in the movie Cat Legs Human Cock?
If anything's wrong with his penis.
Starring in the movie
Cat Legs Human Cock.
Yes.
I thought Tabletop was going to get that one.
It's Cat Leg Dog Balls Human Cock. So he has the legs of a cat, the balls of a dog. He basically, it all happened one day when he collided with
a crazy syringe.
With an animal shelter.
While a comet was going overhead and he was cursed by a gypsy.
Look out for that animal juice.
Animal juice?
Bean juice.
Yeah, animal Jews. they're all outside. Those crazy animal Jews. They're going to get me. Mazel tov. Meowzel tov.
Oh, you're talking about the Hakitic ones. No. Come on. Come on.
Maybe.
All right.
I'm laughing. I'm crying.
I mean, this your show, I think one of the... I've said before that I think your show and Futurama are like the two nerdiest shows on television.
Well, I'll have you know that when I put this appointment to come and do this podcast in my iPhone, it auto-corrected it to nerdiest podcast. Yeah.
Really? Because it used to auto-correct to neediest, which I felt was more of the subtext of the show.
You know what happens now when I my phone's for some reason auto-corrects Jonah Ray, and when I have to do it as one word, as to Jonah Eat, which makes me feel really bad about myself.
Oh, your phone's trying to...
Jonah Eat.
Let me get a hold of that stress ball.
You need to be your own stress.
I'm really proud of myself. There's like, you know, anytime anybody, girl or guy, like grabs my arm, I'm like...
You don't flex.
Yeah, like usually
it's
I'm
admirable.
Just like...
admirable.
Like, and then I just kind of like, hey, yeah. No, do whatever you want. That's how it normally is. It's fine. It's fine.
Good flexion, by the way.
I was saying.
I've now felt both.
Oh, there you go. What? That's the thing. That's what I think a girl wants is that, like, you know, soft enough for a pillow, but also there's some muscle in there
what
for
a
defense.
Girl wants, it's true. What a girl needs, whatever keys you have, and set you free, and I'm thanking you for telling me. What a girl wants, what a girl needs, what a girl can be happy. I thought you were going to leave.
Yeah, I was about to.
Because community, I think, is not just the content of the show isn't just nerdy, and but I don't feel like it hammers you over the head and goes, look at all these nerdy things. Like, it just is. But also the spirit of the fact that the show is just this sort of like this underdog in the sense that it keeps getting punched in the face, but it keeps coming back.
Totally. Yes. I couldn't agree more. I feel like on the joke front, it's Dan's really great at layering in lots of jokes. And obviously when Chevy was on the show, he took a lot of like the physical humor and stuff like that, because that's what he loves to do. And yeah. And then there would be layers of joke, you know what I mean? Then there would be some meta humor, then there would be some like super nerd humor and stuff just for our fans. So there were always... Yeah. That was our attempt or at like trying to be accessible and failing.
Chevy loved the physical humor and the racist humor. I mean, he just like mixed it all together.
Like, no, I mean, whatever.
I mean, just
guys,
whatever.
Yeah,
it's like they're all part of the same. But it's but I think the soul of the show too, like not just that, but under the surface, yeah, it really feels like
the show itself.
Oh, you
is
want it to
like,
win. You just fucking want it to win so bad.
Thank you. I know we do. I appreciate it. And our fans are fucking cool. Even last year when they weren't loving the show, you know, they were still like, bring it back. Right. I don't want to stop watching. It's shit now, and I want to keep watching this shit and ingesting it.
Do you think they really thought that, or they were just projecting the idea
nerds hate
that Dan wasn't there?
I didn't hear what you said.
I said nerds hate change.
That's true. And I think it was, I think it's a little bit of both. Yeah. I think it's, it would be like a big lie to just say that the show was not different at all and was exactly like it was when Dan was there. I don't think that is true, though I'm sure we said it in a number of interviews preceding that season.
Yeah.
fans, I'm sorry. And
Alison Brie's a liar.
I'm sorry. But also when we were doing those interviews, there was no way we were kind of making it. It was hard to know, but... So I think it's both. I think it's like the fans are so connected to Dan, as they should be, and I'm so glad that he has such a great relationship with them and through Twitter and stuff, and he really listens and cares about the fans and does stuff for them. So it was such an intense relationship that they were having, Dan and the fans.
Yeah.
So when he left, people were going into it just so ready to be pissed regardless.
Yeah.
And then... You know,
did you see any of the panel from? Did you see any of the panel from Comic Con?
No.
Dino Stamatopoulos asked a question from the audience.
Oh, nice!
And the first thing he said to Dan was, and Dan was on great behavior, but there was definitely had this tone of like, okay, I don't want to fucking make anyone mad. Like he was very much, and so
Dan was on good behavior.
The first thing Dino said was, "Hey, this is for Dan Harmon. So." Unfuck Sony, I guess.
You leave it to Dino. Yeah, and then he just pitched his comic book.
Yeah.
And then he texted us all during the panel to say that he told everyone to go out the wrong door and that could we correct it and tell them to go out the right door. Which someone did, I think Gillian or someone.
Oh shit!
Well, the show does it feel have you started anything yet?
We haven't. Monday's our first day, so in a couple days we just had our first table read, and it was really exciting. It's so great to have Dan back. We're all we're all just fucking ecstatic,
nervous, excited,
right. Nervous, excited, but much more excited than nervous. I think. I don't feel nervous. I feel excited. In these weeks leading up to it starting, I'm like, let's just start it already.
I mean, there must have been a period of time where almost every week you would sort of see on the internet, like, what happened this week?
Oh, you mean last season? Yeah. The entire last season of the show?
Well, even in leading up to last season of the show, too, that there were a lot of news things that swirled around.
Oh, yes.
Which
yes.
really should
drama,
just be like,
drama
guys, the show's
the show.
Fun and everyone's nice. Why can't it just be fucking fun and not
it's
crazy?
It's so funny to me. Of all the shows, I mean, there are lots of other shows, I guess, that have drama on them. But, like, Community, it's just like... This little comedy that like is like the little engine that could, and meanwhile there's like so much drama behind the scenes. It's what are we, Real Housewives? I like it.
Real Housewives.
But I mean, like, if all that news swirled around Mad Men, I think people would okay, yeah, the show's big, everyone's really famous now. Of course, there's ego.
Right, that's why it's weird on our show. I'm like, well, I'm always fascinated by how much people care about the drama. I'm like, but you're not watching the show.
Yeah.
Why do you care?
Well, it's unfair because I think the Nielsen ratings do not accurately reflect the pardon the expression, cultural penetration of the show.
Oh yeah.
Mm.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It just doesn't accurately reflect how deep.
In a world of cultural penetration.
In a world.
But I think this, and this is, I'm sure that someone's working on this somewhere, but someone needs to come up with a three-dimensional model of, it really is the cultural penetration model of like how people are watching it on DVR, they're watching it online, oh, yeah. they're watching videos about it, they're making fan movies. Like, that says something.
It's so crazy to me that people still try to claim that they can't, you know, figure out how much people watch things online. Like, yeah. Doesn't that seem like a thing?
There should be some kind of paper trail.
There should be some.
Well, the problem is
kind
that
of trail.
The problem arises. This is about to get your
this
wonderfully fun
really
interview
nerdy.
Is about to get really boring. Which is that, you know, when you think about each of the individual platforms as advertising models, mm-hmm. and advertisers advertising in a traditional way on television, they don't necessarily give a shit about.
Every
I mean,
view
they,
of the thing
they
online.
Should because it makes the show more popular, but they don't. And so I think, you know, it's the responsibility of advertisers, I guess, to sort of figure out or someone to figure out the how to spread their exposure across all the different platforms so they
right.
take an interest as opposed to just, well, this Nielsen rating, I don't know.
Well, the thing about the truth is I feel like when I watch something on Hulu and they make you pause for those little commercial breaks.
Yeah.
I watch more commercials on Hulu than the shows I watch on actual television because I record everything and I fast forward through all those commercials.
And by yeah. the way,
I sit and watch the Hulu commercials and then I have to rate their relevancy.
Sorry about
me.
That. I'm sorry. Yeah. Yeah.
If commercials, by the way, are entertaining, people will watch them.
Yeah.
If they're shitty and boring, then people will want to skip through them. But no one, people don't have a problem watching commercials. They just need to be engaging.
Well, it's like the thing about the Super Bowl. I'm sure you guys don't know much about that, but
we really don't.
Oh, nerd dig! Oh,
is that
no.
like a parody of the Puppy Bowl?
We really don't.
Or they like dress
Puppy Bowl.
They dress like humans, like
oh,
the
Puppy Bowl.
Yeah.
And it's fun to watch them use their articulating digits.
Yeah,
to,
yeah, exactly.
To throw and
then every
things.
Once in a while, one of them pees.
Yep. You weren't talking about Super Bowl,
that.
Right?
Yeah, still talking about Super Bowl.
Well, but yeah, but I know people, well, girls, but who will be like, I recorded it, but just to watch the commercials.
Sure.
And it's because it's such a, there's so much hype and they put so much money and stuff into those commercials, but they, and the creative is great.
Yeah.
There's, I mean,
yeah.
not always, but they have a lot of fun with them.
Do you feel like, have you done any commercials? Has anyone asked you to?
I don't think so.
Has anyone, like, offered you the truck of money to do something yet?
No. When I was... like, first starting out, I did an industrial commercial that was just my legs running for, like, Adidas or something.
Oh, I think wow.
That, and other than that, no. What did I do? I'd done an anti-drug PSA also early on. That was the first thing I ever did, and it's how I got my SAG card, was doing this. Now it's like we're at a SAG panel.
Yeah. So you were tapped, Hartley.
So, no, I wasn't. I wasn't paid. I just got, yeah, but anyway. And it was just, but it was supposed to be anti-drugs, but it was just, the whole commercial was me sitting on the edge of, like, a bathtub with a pregnancy test crying, and it's like you kind of subtly see maybe a parent's, you know, shadow of a feet walking by outside the door, and it was like, don't do drugs.
Oh,
that was a drug.
Drug gets
it
you
was
pregnant.
So it was like my friend.
I think it was like, don't let some guy come on you if you're not ready to have a kid.
I was still in college at the time. People were like, I saw your pregnancy commercial.
For drugs.
Anti-pregnancy?
It was for drugs. It was for drugs.
It was drugs.
Hey, can I tell you something else? You know what got me out of that pregnancy? Drugs.
Drugs. Yeah.
So
I think I got rid of it.
It was kind of a pro-drug thing when you think about it.
I'm really for drugs if they limit my pregnancies.
So no,
I haven't done any. I haven't done any big commercials. Though.
So in the last couple of years, because when we first had you on, things were really starting to take off for you. Like you were really starting to.
Sure.
And now you've done, like, now you really are, like, you've done a lot of stuff. Like, you are
sort of.
You are very.
You've had a string of great movies. Or
thank
was it movies
you.
Like,
I was gonna say, I don't know. I feel like you were like, last time we did this interview, you're like, so you're on Mad Men and Community. Now years later, so you're on Mad Men and Community,
but no,
huh?
But
still doing both.
Yeah. Number one, they're both still on.
Crazy, yeah, it's
on.
True. That's true. It's crazy.
You had a great role in 5 Year Engagement.
Thank
which
you.
I think is a great romantic comedy.
Thank you.
And then you had a great. You were the most dramatic, I think, had the most dramatic performance in Save the Date.
Thank thank you for seeing Save the Date.
Well, you know, I was a fan. I've seen it twice now. The guy who wrote it, Jeffrey Brown, I've read his comic books. Yeah, and like he was always really good at just, his art was never really, it was always very crude, but it was like the stories were great. And it was always, he had a really good way of just finding like these moments that you're just like, oh yeah, I know that exact awkward moment. Or his books like Sulk and Any Easy Intimacy and Every Girl's the End of the World to Me. You know, for like a guy in his early 20s going through a breakup, these are like the
perfect.
best things.
Yeah, but that was great.
But yeah, you were great in that. Martin was really great in it.
I felt like it was the first time people could really see Martin as just like this leading guy who's,
Dee and I were just like, whoa, what? He really
sexy.
Actually
looks sexy. Yeah. Sexy in it. Martin's pretty sexy, you guys.
Yeah. No, it's a really.
I said it.
It's a...
Okay.
I said it.
My God,
Chris.
It is.
Just shave that beard.
Just
and cut
connected
his hair.
With me emotionally.
Yeah. I like the beard and hair.
No, it's good. And then there, it's a great movie. It's on TV now. It's on like Showtime or HBO.
I heard, or maybe just IFC because it was bought by IFC and they put it out very, very briefly here. And in New York for like a night, I think.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's a great cast. Lizzie Kaplan is amazing in it. Jeffrey Arend, Mark Webber.
Yeah.
No, Save the date.
Yeah, it's a. Timothy Busfield.
Timothy Busfield. I think he gets the and credit.
Yeah.
The coveted and credit.
Yeah, there's a great scene with Lizzie and what's the guy from Scott Pilgrim that was.
Mark Webber.
Yeah, Mark Webber, where it's, you know, he's like, hey, we should go, like, let's go to. And she's like, no, I think I just need a break right now. And then, he does that thing that, like, the putting it all on the table speech. It's like, you know in your heart that this is right, and you're just scared. You're scared of this. And Dee just happened to be in the living room. We'll see once more. I was like, hey, how many times do you have to listen to a guy give you that speech? And she just went,
the laying it on the table. Yeah. Like, why isn't this more?
Yeah, it's like you're just scared because this is so right.
This is so real.
Yeah, and then she asked me, she like put it back on.
Yeah,
she's like,
Let me ask a question.
As a woman, has that speech ever worked? Or does it make you just like go,
know, I think it works. It works short term, but not long term. It makes you uncomfortable enough to not take action in that moment.
Yeah, exactly.
And then maybe a month, maybe 3 months from then, something's gonna go down.
No, because I've done that speech before, and it worked temporarily, and then like it just fizzled out again. But it never works.
It doesn't work because you can't fundamentally convince someone with your mind.
You can't.
With your speech
you can't.
Powers.
Clarence Darrow. Someone
yeah,
into being, or,
being in love with you.
All the facts are right here, plain as day.
That's what guys do. They just go, here's why it works.
Yeah.
You know?
Here's why I'm going to shake
Honor,
you.
If you can see, I have all these documents. Exhibit A. I'm sorry.
It does work, so she will be staying with me.
Yeah.
We find for the plaintiff.
Yeah. Let me show you Exhibit C. It's a boombox I will now hold above my head.
I guess I had to go with him, so we've been married for 40 years.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
But don't you sort of feel like in the old days that probably worked more like in the 30s?
Yeah,
I tell you, we belong together. It looks good on paper. You know what? That's what it is.
Looks good on paper.
That's the thing. The guys come from it up from a looks good on paper kind of thing. They try to convince you in that way.
But all women know that the looks good on paper guy is not usually going to be the guy.
What a girl wants.
I know it looks good on paper, but I just know in my heart of hearts that it's that really smelly, messy guy that's in the band, and it's really going to work out.
What a girl now.
It's over. We have to stop. No.
Meow, meow, meow.
I was going to say, now it's just all vowels.
Now
only consonants.
Sometimes why? So do you feel like in the last 2 years this is it. I'm living the thing that I always wanted to. Or do you still feel like, no, so much I haven't done?
It's tough. I think it's a constant battle between, look, on the one hand, it is. Everything's great. I think there's I feel good. Life is good. I can't complain. I feel super lucky. I feel super fortunate. I'm very happy with how things are going. At the same time, it's just like anything, like any dream that you have when you think like there's going to be that point when you know you've made it and everything works and like.
You cut the tape and they throw the confetti, there's just a big starburst.
Yeah. Like, yeah, it just doesn't happen like that. Like, the dreams are not realized like that in that way. And I think a lot of people Just even like working actors are like, if I could just book a TV show, like that would be it, you know? And they think that like, and now I've been on these shows that have, are so fortunate to have been around for 7 and 5 years, which is incredible.
Yeah.
And it still is just like, it's a constant uphill battle. We've never felt like, it's not like I'm just on Community and I'm like, whew, gonna go buy that, you know, $10 million home in Malibu.
It's probably more like, are we coming back next week?
Yeah, it's all the time. It's just sort of like, okay, but do I have a steady job? Because nothing really feels steady. And I just want to make sure, can we line some other stuff up? And what's happening on the break? And, you know, I think there's just, you're in a constant state of panic all the time. Still, as much as I am happy and lucky and fully appreciative of everything that's going on.
Every time I see you, you're always upbeat and like fun and riffy and really like smiling.
It's infuriating.
I'm generally optimistic.
Do you feel like you are though? Do you feel like you are, or do you feel like
it's
there's a piece of you like, well, or not a persona, but just a facet? I mean, because I find that I'm pretty upbeat all day, but a lot of times when I go home, I've spent a lot of energy,
totally.
And so
and
I'm very much like,
I
just can't. I'm just really kind of wiped out. Right?
Yeah.
Like,
do you feel good for the person you're with at the time? Either?
No,
it's true.
No,
I was
going to
say,
no.
The first 3 seasons of Community were a real relationship fucker because all the best of you was just like, it's just at work. Everything, it's all at work because when
and
you're
then you
not.
Just don't talk to me, but I haven't seen you all day.
You're on set. When you're not acting, you're doing bits on the side. You're just endless energy. And then you rap and you get home and you're like, don't talk to me.
Yeah.
Don't even touch me.
How many times have you? How many times have you heard this? Well, how come you can be that way for other people?
No, I don't know. I think it's both. I mean, one, you know, I'm just always really happy to see you, Chris.
Well, I appreciate that. Thank you very much. Of course, I put everyone. I'm the world's cheerleader.
I am the world's cheerleader.
And this is my song.
I'm gonna cheer people on, and this is my song. I sing it to people before I cheer them on. Still working on this song, but I'm excited about it.
Wait, here we go. You ready? Are you ready? Please, we have to shoot this. I want to shoot a sketch with you, and this is your album is called Still Working on This Song, and it's, and the commercial is pieces of songs that you've written, and but you always still get to
still working on this song.
And it's just like, we'll do the commercial and shoot it, like,
and then it has to have a list of all the songs.
K-Tel Records presents.
Yeah.
You know,
every song has a parenthetical after it's still working on this song.
Yeah. I'm in. oh my God. Yeah, I think it's interesting. Also, you're catching me like during the summer, and I'm it's fun and happy. I think whenever I see you, it's like jovial occasions. I don't know. I'm a pretty happy person. I will say, I guess it does depend what. Excuse me.
What just happened?
I didn't hear a burp.
It was very like a silent air burp, but I could taste this like greens juice that I was drinking right before. It was just like kale and lemon and spinach.
Kale burps.
Just the worst parts of the juice coming back
just
up.
Just came right back up.
Remember me?
Let me out!
Just silently, only
back
for my benefit.
Yeah, just hello.
Remember me?
But it's a little bit of both. Yeah, I think it's again. There is a thing, too, where sometimes you are in a mood. I get in, like, loner moods. I can be kind of a loner person, which seems weird for me, but it's true. And, like, and you get in those moods, and then it is funny to run into, like, fans at those moments where they're like, come on, be you. You're so cool and fun. And you're like, oh, I really appreciate that you are coming up to me, and that's so nice. But, you know, I'm just I'm not like, dance, monkey, dance.
Yeah. That at Allison Brie is a bitch. Just ran into her at the Veggie Grill and
Oh, people will. I know people will say that. Also, it's different. I don't know. I was going to reference because I was in Toronto for a couple months this summer shooting this movie, No Stranger Than Love, which was this really cool, interesting script. This indie movie with Colin Hanks and Justin Chatwin.
Who's awesome.
He's awesome. Kind of roped him into it, and Justin Chatwin, who's great, and it was great. But my character in the movie, it's like I'm sort of the main character of the movie, and. She's, like, very depressed and hates most of the people in her town. She's, like, constantly pretending to like everyone, but kind of really doesn't and is, like, actually this kind of really more of, like, a shy, nervous, quiet person. And I was so depressed while I was shooting this movie because I was also – I was unintentionally like method acting it because I was alone in Toronto and everybody else was locally cast and locally working, so it's like everyone's going home. Normally when you're on location on a movie, there's like a vibe of like we're all in Baton Rouge, even though maybe it sucks here, although I didn't think it did. Like, we can all go get a beer at that place. And, like, the vibe wasn't that way. It was just, like, me all the time. The guys were coming in and out of town because they weren't sort of on all the time. Mm. And I was alone a lot. And I was just, like, so depressed. It was very, very un-me. And even then, I felt like I would come to set to try to be, like, all right, woo, we're on set. This is so great. But that wasn't totally conducive to it either, because you'd be like, okay, and now I'm going to get into character.
Yeah.
Just get down.
It's actually kind of a romantic comedy, so it's weird that I'm making it sound like it was like super, like I feel like the movie is dark and depressing.
Do you give in to the depression or do you like fight it?
A little bit of both.
Because sometimes you just need to let it run its course.
It's true.
I'll
just be like, I'm going to go to the movies and like get some peanut M&Ms some peanut butter M&Ms.
What?
Which
the fuck?
You're being bad. You're being bad right now.
Can I say though?
You're a bad girl, Allison.
This weekend in Toronto, I went to the movies this one weekend, and I'm not used to seeing peanut butter M&Ms for sale at the movies. That's like a specialty treat. And I'd been watching a lot of Arrested Development online of the new season, and I walked in and I'm alone. And I, like, walk up to the counter and I see that I was going to just get my classic peanut M&Ms, which is what I usually go for. Now you all know.
Yep.
And
truckloads are going to show
up. This story is incredible. No, but it was a nerd moment because I fully walked up and I was like, and the girl's like, what do you want? And I'm like, I'll take the peanut butter M&Ms. Feeling like I was Michael Cera, I was like George Michael being adventurous.
Like, yeah, it's like you were really splurging.
It was me really splurging. I was like, I'm going to have the peanut butter M&Ms. I said it just like that with a fucking smug little grin. And she was just like, uh-huh, anything else? Like, yep, peanut butter M&Ms.
I just want to make sure that you understand not the peanut M&Ms.
Not the peanut, but the peanut butter M&Ms.
Oh, I get you. Here's some weed.
And I got totally stoned. It was great. I saw This Is the End. It was awesome.
I was going to start.
I
was seeing This Is the End, and I loved it.
Oh, wait, This Is the End, not World's End. This Is the End is great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
World's End, coming soon. I can't wait.
Next week.
I'm just going to start checking in with you at different. I'll call you like 1 o'clock in the morning. How about now? Are you depressed now? Like, I'll just see if
I'm okay.
Damn it. Next day.
Yeah. It was just, everybody's got ups and downs, right, guys?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He doesn't stop to have an up or a down. It's just a constant.
Just middle of the road all the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That sucks.
No, actually, I'll tell you, I used to not be able to handle time off.
And no, Chris.
Same.
But just this year, I figured it out.
Me too. What's the trick?
I don't know.
I did figure it out, but I'm just wondering what your trick is.
What's your trick? I'm just curious if it's the same as my trick, which is a really good trick.
Which is an awesome trick.
But I don't know if I want to say it without you say your trick first.
I think you should just say yours first.
Let's say them at the same time.
Okay.
One, two, three.
Trick.
I don't know.
Trick.
I just said trick.
I just do tricks. I pull tricks on people. It helps me relax. Makes me so happy.
I grift.
I turn tricks, you guys. That's
what?
I bamboozle.
That's crazy. No, I don't know. I think I got more comfortable this year than myself. Not more comfortable in general, but just more comfortable with myself this year, where I'm like, it's okay to relax a little bit.
Yeah, I think, you know what, that's probably the biggest difference when you're asking about, like, me 3 years ago and me now. It maybe is just that slightest bit of comfortability extra that I have now that I'm sort of like, I can enjoy downtime, and it's not like I don't have to freak out as much about where my next job is.
What's happening? Yeah. What am I doing? I should be out of work.
A week off, and I'm like, okay, well, I just don't feel like anything's happening.
Yeah. Anyway, I used to take a couple days off, and I'd call my manager. I'm like, is everything about to stop? And he was like, you've been done. You've just taken like 3 days off.
I talked to you Tuesday.
Yeah, exactly.
It's Thursday.
Everything's fine.
Yeah.
But when there, you know, it's like you're almost, when there aren't things to do.
Yeah. So you spend a long time juggling multiple balls.
Oh, my.
This is a callback to, what was his name?
It wasn't the one.
Which one?
It was the second one.
Nonsensicles.
Nonsensicles.
Yeah.
No. It was
Comparicles.
Comparicles. Nonsensicles.
Oh,
you can't understand. He could possibly
be. Waiting to call back that this
you
whole
know.
Time.
And yeah.
Well, we'll edit it together so that it sounds like you were right on top
Testicles.
Of it.
Testicles.
No.
Damn.
Comparicles,
actually.
Yeah, I think it really just comes down to being a little more comfortable with it. And now I get, like, if I can sleep in until, you know, like, if my first meeting or whatever the next day isn't until, like, 10 or 11, I'm like, fucking sweet. Or if I finish at, like, 4 in the afternoon sometimes,
totally.
Holy shit, I get the rest of the night. I am fucking, what am I
sleep by 7.
Oh yeah, no, I passed out hardcore last night, like 11 o'clock. I just could not.
Oh keep... no way.
Yeah, bro.
No
sounds
way.
Pretty crazy. I'm pretty
11 o'clock, huh? Pretty,
yeah, bro.
That's almost the witching hour. That's witching hour's eve.
That's witching hour, man. It's one. Yeah. So what? So you start Community, and then are you off? You're not. You can't do anything else, I would imagine, for the fall.
Well, yeah, I don't know yet. It's well, Community, we just shoot it until December, and I'm pretty sure it's a mid season. We don't have an air date, so
sounds like
going to be on.
I think
par
it's
for the course.
Be on. Yeah, so it's just another year there. And
so we're picking you guys up. Great. When's the one ring going to be on? Well, I don't. So.
They're treating.
Oh, you just trailed off.
They're treating it like a cable
oh,
show.
Yeah,
but, you know, we'll just have
You're
it.
You're still trailing off.
I like to trail off.
Yeah. So I don't know. I don't know what the future holds.
I was trying to get a community bowling match against you guys, and it's
no one would do it.
No, it's Joel is the hardest one to pin down.
Of course,
he's the hardest one to pin down.
Oh,
Squirrely.
I'm Mr. Money Man. I'm driving around in my money car because I'm Money Man. I'm still working on this song.
You had a van opportunity.
I got a money van.
No, I don't like to go for the obvious rhyme.
No.
So, or a rhyme,
like
or rhyme at all.
I like to walk like 6 blocks away from that rhyme. And
I'm
then...
a man and I know I can get in my money car. No, because
that
like,
actually kind of.
You were just a minute away.
So I got a money convertible.
Right around the car. Money, even caravan.
Yeah.
You were right around the corner from it.
I'm just a no rhyming girl, and I don't rhyme.
You'll get all the greatest hits on "Still Working on This" by Alison Brie.
I don't rhyme. I don't even have time. I'm gonna eat a lime, but I don't like rhymes. Still
and who
working
could,
on this song?
Who could forget ooh, this meta. Classic?
Thank you.
Yeah.
So that's it. We're going to take all the ones that you've already done on the show and
good.
start making the greatest hits album.
Good. We've written it. We've written it now.
I like the idea that if you didn't listen to this podcast, you would have no fucking idea what it is. That it's just so weird. Like, what is it?
We'll just put it on the... Why did they make that?
Yeah.
Is it spoofing?
Well, because
yeah.
now everyone
albums?
Thinks... Because now everyone thinks something has to be connected to something else. Like, is
yeah,
she promoting
yeah, yeah.
something?
Yeah.
Or is like... No, she just...
I'd be promoting this podcast.
You'd be promoting your album.
And at the end...
Still working on this.
Listen to Nerdist Podcast.
Still Working on This by Alison Brie.
Still working on this.
Who is Alison Brie on Twitter as well. One L.
One L. One I-E.
So it's not... There's not a silent I-E at the beginning? I-E Brie.
People... Yeah, you know? People go crazy with those.
You know, I gotta tell you, that's
those
a great...
Those I's and E's.
It's a pretty great fucking diphthong. If I may.
Wow, you went there.
The IE is a pretty great fucking diphthong.
It is.
Yeah.
It is.
So, good job. Why do you have to wear diphthongs in your pictures? Why can't you just be happy being a successful, happy actress?
Well, I think, my phone is ringing.
Your
it's
phone,
like I can
your
hear it.
Your phone's not ringing at
I
all.
Can, it, well, it's on silent, but I just
Well, how could
I
you
know,
hear it then?
I see the light. I see the light flashing.
No, there's nothing flashing.
I can see it.
Katie's
I,
over there. She's not even acknowledging
oh,
it. This You're
oh,
picking
I
up a phantom
it.
Phone.
I have to take this.
You're doing
this.
Space work right
this.
Now.
Beep, boop, boop,
your phone
bop,
is
beep.
Backwards.
Hi, oh, I got
you're,
it.
You're, that's not, those are coasters.
Oh, I'm needed right now.
By the coasters?
Oh yes, Mr. Coasterman.
he's calling you on all this. He
Coasterman.
Has access to call on any coaster.
I'm glad you called the emergency line.
How are they working out for you?
Yeah. I wish everyone could see the eyes that you gave me. Like, I gotta take this.
how are the coasters working for you?
They're
Bruce Cutter.
Ask Mr. Coasterman.
Bruce Cutter is a character that Jonah discovered he could do, and we called him. We named him Bruce Cutter.
Oh. It's pronounced Cutter.
Yeah, well, he's my, coincidentally that's my boss.
You
that
just
character.
Hung up on
you
him.
Wear many hats.
You
he told me while
down.
You were riffing and raffing, he was like, "You better."
Probably more raff. Raffing.
Yeah,
I like to raff.
Raffing. He was like, "You better leave. You gotta go."
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't get any of that part of the conversation from what you were saying.
Well, yeah, he was like, "I need you right now."
So, I'm just curious.
Oh, well, they're not going to work when you hold them.
Because these are two of the coasters that I'm holding up, which don't seem to have any type of transmission device
no,
on them. So is this...
They wouldn't for you, no.
So you have some
have...
type of special
it's
coaster?
A magnetic system. In my ear, there's a thing all the time. It's been implanted.
You put that in there just so you could answer coasters.
He's really important. Mr. Kosterman is really important. He's a big guy.
What would be the benefit
of
that?
In the coaster world?
Yeah, but what would be the benefit of trying to corner the coaster market?
Mm. You know, there's a lot of wood tables in this world, Chris, and there's a lot of cold beverages.
Your cat?
Hey, don't bring Tableton into this.
You brought Tableton into this.
You could say shit about Michael Fone, but not Tableton.
Not Tableton!
Trying to tie all the bits together.
Doing a pretty good job.
Sticking the landing. Here we go.
Gymnastics. Still working on this song.
Carrie Strug. That's a reference. But it's good to see you, and please come back anytime you want.
Okay.
But give it enough time since you've been on the first, you know, before you come back. I'm not saying it has to be another 2 years. I mean, you come on anytime you want, but like not... Like, I wouldn't come on next week or anything, because it's...
Like, I agreed and said okay, and now you're, like, backtracking.
It's not that I'm backtracking.
Like,
listen, I just... This feels very clingy. Like, I just need a little space.
I'm just saying, why can't we just record one more right after this one?
Well, we could.
You asked me to be here.
I did, and I really like you, but I'm just worried that...
You know what? I can't even... I gotta go. Please, Kosterman...
Take your coasters.
Oh. Kosterman, no.
Oh.
He lives in there?
Hello.
Wait, is he transmitting or he is actually embodies the coasters?
It hurts his ears. Because snap back. He's been listening to this entire conversation.
That was loud.
Look at that.
Why won't he stop the podcast,
Kosterman,
Allison?
Is your ear okay?
I have to take another vacation.
Those ear problems, that inner ear.
I have tubes in them.
Thing.
Are you okay?
No.
All right, and tell everyone to enjoy their burrito.
Enjoy your burrito.
Thank you very much. Enjoy your burrito.
Oh.
I made it about you.
I liked it.
All right.
Thank you.
What a girl wants, what a girl needs, whatever gives you happiness,
I'm
not begging you for answering the coasters. Allison Brie! Allison Brie!
Can't spike the mic, spike the phones.
Spike it. Oh my
Christopher.
God.
Now leaving Nerdist.com. Enjoy your burrito.
This episode of the Nerdist Podcast was brought to you by the new comedies of Fox Tuesday, September 17th. Don't miss the premiere of Dads, followed by the premiere of Brooklyn Nine-Nine.